Good morning. I want to, just looking around, seeing who's in church, congratulate you fighting through the blizzard to get here. Our snow in December, can you believe it? How many would like to see a white Christmas? Anybody out there? I would be just excited about that. The rest of us who are Scrooges, we're praying for you. Man, I'm looking around here. Is that Chris that I see there? Chris, would you stand up and let us congratulate you making it through boot camp at Paris Island? Proud of you. Good job. One of our very own. You go. Wow. Making it through. Thank you, brother. Seeing you growing up into a man. As you enter Paris Island, there's a big sign that says, "We make Marines." And that's what they made out of you, Marine. Good to have you home for the holidays. Pull out your note sheet if you would. Service host, come on down. If you did not receive an outline when you came in, yes, this is a church that takes notes. So go ahead and lift up your hand. Service host, make sure everyone has something to follow along with. If you're one of those tech people, you can find it on our app. But trust me, if you don't write it down in 72 hours, you'll forget everything that happened, and you'll lose the benefit of it as well. But if you engage, you'll be able to remember what the Lord was saying to you and put it in to practice. So you'll notice up here that I have a TV to my left, you guys' right, and you're probably wondering, Pastor Charlie, seriously, do we need another TV in the sanctuary? But I've asked them to put this up here just will help me teach. So we started a series last week, our Advent series, our Christmas series. And I started with this song that was sung by Cindy Lou Who, little Cindy Lou Who, 8 years old, in The Grinch. And she sang that song, real touching song, "Where Are You Christmas? Why Can't I Find You? Why Have You Gone Away? Why can't I hear the laughter anymore? And why can't I hear the music play?" And we're kicking off this series we've been talking about because I feel like down in my heart that maybe some of us have lost Christmas. That feeling, you really can't, maybe something in life has covered up Christmas. So you have your outline there. We're calling this Finding Christmas. Let me ask you a question just as we begin here. What is the first thing that you think of when you hear the word Christian? Looking around here, okay. Now let's narrow this down a little bit. What's the first thing that you think of when you hear the word evangelical Christian? Just think evangelical Christian. I was reading a book by a famous author, Philip Yancey, Vanishing Grace, and he quotes a non-Christian, a non-believer, on what he thought of when he heard the word Christian. And I just want you to just consider it as we're beginning. This is what he said. You can read it with me if you'd like. "Most people I meet assume that Christian means very conservative, entrenched in their thinking, anti-gay, anti-choice, angry, violent, illogical, empire builders. They want to convert everyone, and they generally cannot live peacefully with anyone who doesn't believe what they believe." Read that last little part, that last section. "And they generally cannot live peacefully with anyone who does not believe what they believe." Everyone say ouch. Okay, ouch. I'm not sure you agree with that, but this is what this person thinks of when they hear Christian. It was interesting. I came across a survey of 18,000 people over 23 different countries, and the survey question was, do you think that religion is a force for good? Over 52%, basically, of the world judged said that religion does more harm than good. Now, if we're a thinking church, and this is a thinking church, you would have to agree when you look at the news that we're experiencing one of the greatest human tragedies right now of refugees. And when you look at the plight of these people, and you think of religion, you probably say, "Well, yeah, it's probably true." Well, right here in the United States, 35% of us believe that religion does more harm than good. You know what it is in the United Kingdom? With all the stuff that's been happening there, maybe you've been following the past several years, 71% their population says that religion does more harm than good. So I want to ask you, what ought we to think? I mean, what ought we to think when someone thinks, or what ought someone else to think when they hear church? Want to come to church? What should people think when they hear the word I'm a Christian, or I'm an evangelical Christian? You know, one of those people who really believe the Bible is the Word of God. What ought they to think of? I'm reminded that Jesus, in his Last Supper, meeting one final time with his disciples, one of the 12, Judas, has just left and going to betray the Lord for a piece of money. And he looks at his remaining disciples, 11 of them, and he says, "A new command I give you." This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment I give you. We find this in John. And here are the words. I want you to read this with me. This is what Jesus said. This first word is emphatic. It's a command, not a suggestion. Read it with me if you would. Love one. Okay, let's try it again. Love. Let's say it all out loud. Love one another. Now, this next phrase is powerful, but it's important that we understand it. It's explosive. This defines, this is the premise, this is the foundation of Christianity. Read it with me if you would. Just as I have loved you, you also are. Let's try it again. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. In the same way that I've loved you, how has he loved us? How has he loved us? Now, we began unpacking that last week, but Jesus goes on to say that in this, there's a key to this movement spreading. There's a key to witnessing, evangelism, to sharing. He said, by this, read with me, by this all people will know that you're my followers. If you have love one, just as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another. How has God loved us? And we unpacked this last week. This is in your notes. It's just in review. Christmas, or Christianity, we might say, Christmas is all about remembering. It's a season when we stop and we remember the absolute, unconditional love of God. By the way, that's a fill in the blank there. The unconditional Christmas is, where are you, Christmas? I can't feel you. Okay, let's just stop. It's all around us. It's in the air we're breathing. We're inhaling, we're exhaling. It's behind me, above me, below me. Christmas is all about us remembering the unconditional love of God. I know this is difficult for us to understand because most of us in here don't live in this environment of the unconditional love of God. John 3:16, a passage we know very well. We did it last week. I want us to do it again. Read it with me if it's up there. God so what? Loved the world that he did what? He gave his, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have ever. Listen, The minute that you believe in Christ, you put your trust in Him, you are in Christ, you immediately step into eternal life, everlasting life. I'm not waiting for it when I die. The minute that I put my trust and my confidence in the gift of God and His Son, Christ, I move from perishing and I move to living in my eternal life. I'm not waiting for it. My everlasting life has already started in Christ. And it's the same with you. I'm not, what happens when you die and your body passes away? I just step into more life in Him. Anyone who believes in, this is the gift of God. Now, let's keep going. We usually don't quote the next verse. We see the first verse in banners and football games behind the scenes. But there's a second verse. It just keeps going. God, read it with me if you would. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but He sent His Son in order, what? That the world, now I'm not making this up. Make sure you're reading the Bible. In order that the world might be, and that word saved is pregnant with all kind of meaning, that might be helped, might be strengthened, might have life, might be saved in and through, in and through Him. God so loved the world. So let me just say this again. I said it last week. We're thinking about what Christmas is about. I want to say again, God, maybe those who missed last week, God, because of this, God, I want you to understand, God has not given up on you. You might be visiting the church. You might be here for this. I just want to say it again. God has not given up on you. God is not waiting for you to get your act together so He'll do something nice for you. That's conditional love. You weren't doing anything when He gave His Son. You weren't meriting or deserving anything when He made the world and made a beautiful garden and made things we didn't need, just things to enjoy, like flowers and just the beauty of it. That's who He is. Let me say it again. He's not waiting for you to get your act together so He'll be nice to you. We're thinking about what Christmas is. In fact, God is so generous. He's so generous, He doesn't need you to give Him anything in order for Him to give something to you. Are you with me? That's just who, He doesn't need you to give Him anything. He's generous. He's just going to give you something regardless, because that's who He is. He's so humble. Think about Christmas, how humble the Lord is. God doesn't need you to start giving Him credit before He gives you something. In fact, a lot of times you might not even recognize it, and that's okay with God because He lives in humility. And so we remember when He came to the earth, He didn't come to a palace, and He didn't come to the capital city where all the cool stuff was happening. He came to a dusty little town that no one had heard of. Born in a manger, and so humble, and yet He was working for the salvation and the help and the grace of each and every single one of us. So it's okay if you're not acknowledging Him or recognizing Him, but He's still working on your behalf. He's so attentive. This is how loving God is, so attentive that He even answers prayers that we didn't pray. We should have been praying them. But we didn't even voice them. But He's so attentive and watching us that he's, you know, I just want you, you might not recognize it, and it's okay with God, but there probably is a reason that you're here this morning. God may be answering a prayer of yours, and you don't even know it yet. And He's trying to come alongside of you and to bless your life. He is always working on our behalf. How can you say that? Because God is, we talked about this last week, God is love. And His perfect love drives out every fear in our lives. Well, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, and I know it's very, very difficult. It's not going to change who God is, though. I don't understand. What am I to say about this? This is too good. There's something fishy here. It's too good to be true. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 asked the same question. He said, what are we going to say about this? I mean, what can you say about what I just said about the love of God? This is a very long passage of Scripture, so I'm going to need you to tune in, okay? You with me? We don't usually read something this long, but just track with me here. Romans chapter 8, what then shall we say to these things? Now, read with me if you would. If God is for us, who? Think about that question. If this is true, if God really does love me like that pastor's saying, like Jesus came to demonstrate, who can really be against me? Even in death, I win. Now, hold on. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's keep going, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Now, that reason with the script, track this argument. If God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Look at this question, very next. Read with me if you would. How will he not also with him graciously give us? I mean, if he sent his son and he was offered up as a sacrifice for our sins that we might not bear the condemnation, how much more with him will he also help us in every arena of our lives? Let's keep going. Who shall, look at this question, verse 33, read with me. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? That's that condemnation, that judgment. Some of us in here, you're under self-condemnation, your own mental judging of yourself. And it's, some of us have it from other people, but in our own minds, a lot of times we judge ourselves. Who is to condemn? It's Christ Jesus is the one who what? He's the one that died to forgive us our sins. So we're not under condemnation. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was what? He didn't just die, but he was raised. Who, now this is unbelievable. I just want you to read with me. Who is at the right hand of God? Who? Guys, we have to, can you see it? Can you go back to that verse? It was like 30 of you. Who is at, I want us to start right here. Who is at the right hand of God? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is Jesus? Not only died for you, but right now, right at this very moment, he's praying for you. Interceding. His intercession, his work for you didn't end at the cross. He's still working for you. Again, I want to go back to maybe there's a reason why you're here. Maybe there's this God who just believes in you, and it's relentless. It's unconditional. He's unwilling to give up. He's trying his best to bring you into a better place. Interceding, Lord, you're interceding for us right now. Okay, let's keep going. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall, now that's just a big word for trouble. Well, trouble. Hard times, difficult times, you know, lost the job times, sick times. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more, not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors through him. There it is. Not because I've got this great willpower about it. No, I'm more than a conqueror through him. Who unconditionally loved me. Now let's keep going. I am sure, I'm certain, I'm persuaded that neither, now here it is, neither what? That means in my death, I'm not separated from the love of God. It's going to sustain me through that. Either death, let's keep going, life, angels, nor rulers, nor present,
stop right there. Past, what's happening in my present, what's going to happen in my future. Doesn't matter. Nor powers. Every demonic power on hell. Every strategy set up against me that's caused me to fall, or maybe I fell in the past, or maybe I'm falling right now, still hasn't separated me. Nor, keep going, 39, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. Stop right there. What's that mean? You don't have to be a Greek scholar. What do you think that list is? Pretty comprehensive? Anything and everything that I might be going through, or have gone through, or read that last sentence with me. Nothing will be able to separate us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love. There it is again. The love of God in, the door was opened. It was the gift of God in Christ Jesus, the Lord. God, said this last week, I'm saying it again, Pastor Charlie, when are you going to do a new sermon? When we start believing this one. God is not, I don't care what, how you've grown up, or what the TV taught you, what your friends taught you, or what your church of origin taught you. God is not the almighty punisher. I'm out to get, wow, I knew you would blow things, so just give it back to me. No, I'm sorry. God is the almighty lover and restorer of my soul. God is love. And that perfect love drives out every fear. He's the great lover. The great lover. His love does not give up. You have not out-sinned him. You've not outrun him. He's working, even if you don't even recognize it. You're not even acknowledging it. He's working on your behalf. You don't cause him to be generous. He's already generous. It's who he is. It's his nature. You with me? Now, I want to stop right here and pivot. This is important. How ironic. How ironic that we in this room have the religion, have the philosophy, whatever you want to call it, have the message of the unconditional love of God, and yet we are not known for that love. Here's a question I want you to think. I mean, how, seriously? Why aren't we the best lovers? Why doesn't the church have that reputation? Why don't we? Why? Here's some thoughts, some questions. Why aren't we the most generous, the most patient, the biggest hearts? Why aren't we known to be the most forgiving? After all, it was our Lord who was being crucified, demonstrating his great love towards us, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Why aren't we, just thinking out loud here, why aren't we the least narrow-minded? I mean, after all, we read that scripture from the Apostle Paul. I pray that you comprehend how great the love of God is, how wide it is. It is not narrow. God's love is so wide, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, that it even includes you. Yes, you. You might think, oh, I'm outside the love of God because I did this and did this and did this. You're still on a conditional plane. It's not about what you do. It's about who God is. And He is gracious, magnanimous, and full of love, great in mercy, in mercy, mercy. You know, everything that God wants from us, now think about this. So let's put the list of everything that God wants from us. Everything that God desires from us and wants us to do can be summed up. This is so complicated. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. This is like so super simple but super challenging as well. Everything that God wants us to do can be summed up in one word. One word. Yeah, but Pastor, don't I need to do this, and don't I need to stop this, and don't I need to go here, and stop. You already missed the first step. You missed the first step. Everything that God wants us to do can be summed up in one word. James said it like this. I'm sorry, the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 said it like this. Do we have that up here? The whole, read this with me if you would. The whole law is fulfilled in this is it. This is it. We don't have to make this super complicated. Everything that God wants us to do that makes him happy is summed up in one word. Love people just the way, remember what Jesus said earlier? Love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love people just the way, I've set you an example, just the way that I love you. So we could summarize, what really matters to God? What's a really big deal to God? What political party you're associated with, who you voted for, what you eat, what you drink, what clothes you wear, what does the inside of a church building look like? All the stuff that we just, you know, what really matters to God? What really matters to God is how we treat one another. You okay? Everybody okay? I'll say it again. What really matters to God is how well we love one another. Christian maturity is not about how much information you have or how much knowledge you have. Christian maturity is not measured by how many quiet times you have. I read the Bible every single day. Well, that's wonderful. Why are you still rude and angry and narrow-minded? I mean, what really matters to God? He said, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so love one another. Well, I can read my Bible in Greek. I went to school, and I can even read it in Hebrew. And I say I believe the Bible, really. And that's the measure of maturity. Well, yes, Pastor, and I've cleaned up my life. I don't act like other people do. They do all these bad things, but since I've come to God, I've cleaned myself up, and now I'm a mature Christian. Really, really, as if that's how God measured maturity. So Christian maturity is measured by how well we love one another. This is what really matters to God. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here. This isn't in my notes, but if you're wondering what the great offense, because they're not all the same, what the great sin against God would be, it's not whether, now hold on to your sin. It's not whether if you had too much to drink or you did this or you did that. You know what the worst, whatever on your list is the bad stuff, on the top of the list of God is treating someone unlovingly. That's it. Because everything that God wants can be summed up in this. You give the same love to someone else that I gave you. And how have I loved you? And that's really the problem, because some of us have not received his love. So we can't give it really fully yet. We don't understand it. He's saying, how have I loved you? I've loved you unconditionally. I've given to you freely and graciously. I'm just for you. We're to love others. So let's ask ourselves a question. How do we know whether or not we're loving well? It's a great question. Thank you for asking that. How do we know how we're doing in this most important, most critical of aspects of pleasing the Lord? Well, here's a test question. We just ask ourselves, do people enjoy being around us? Are you here? Some of you aren't sure you came. You're glad you came to church anymore. You just. Whoa! I want you to ask yourself: does my spouse? Now I've stopped preaching, and now I'm meddling with you. I'm messing with you. Does your spouse? Is she or he glad to be with you and around you? Come on. Our coworkers, or your children. Now, except the teenage years, they're allowed to go crazy. But overall, are other people glad? Because you know what? This love is so attractive and so winsome. That's why we find over and over and over in Scripture that even sinners, people who are far away from God, so love to be around Jesus. Now, religious people had a hard time with Jesus because their whole system is set up on conditions. Listen, and if we're not careful as we meet those conditions, it causes us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And we forget that we've just been saved by grace. You didn't meet any condition. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It was just freely given. Scripture says in Ephesians 2, it's by grace you've been saved, not of works, lest you should boast. It's the gift of God. It's the free gift. It's who he is, the gift of God. People enjoy being, I was so convicted by this when I was thinking about this. In fact, I was thinking about this at the very beginning of 2017 in January. I was standing right here. It was the first Wednesday of the new year, January 2017. I remember standing here, and I had two prayers for 2017 that I shared with the church, and we were going to be praying through. But the second one was, Lord, in 2017, help me to love better than I ever have before. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, how you doing with that? I don't know. You have to ask my wife after service or find one of our kids. Lord, help me to love better. This is the sum total of what you desire of me. When I leave somebody, how do they feel about themselves? When I'm in the presence of somebody and then I move away from them, how did I leave them? It's very important to the Lord. So in your notes, let me just give some suggestions here. Let me ask a question before I give you a suggestion. Has anyone ever received any formal training on how to love well? Let me just see the hands. Let me see. Any formal training? Oh, okay. So we learn English and sentences and math. But you know what this is right here? You know what the church ought to be? And do you know what the community church is striving to be? This is a school of God's love. See, it's a real challenge, and it takes a long time. We don't just get it overnight, because some of us come in here, and our hearts are very, very small and narrow. We've never experienced that love, and we come into God's house, and we're just tasting it for the first time, and week in and week out and week in and week out. If you give yourself to the habit of God's house, and then year after year, God's love begins to grow and grow in your heart as you learn more and more and more. And then your ability to begin to share that love to others begins to grow as well. So this is a school. Lord, I'm learning about love. What are some ways? Let's go through these. Let's go through these quickly in closing here. Suggestions for loving well. Number one, we start here. And that is to listen. Listen to others. What? Attentively. How many got this down pat? You just good. Listen to someone attentively. By the way, every single one of these suggestions is how God loves you. Do you know that you can call on God anytime? And he never says, can I get back with you? When can I? Hold on, let me check the phone here. No. You can be at work. You can be on the road. You can be in his house. Anywhere, everywhere, and call on the scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Now, saved, and all that word means will be helped, will be strengthened, will have grace, will have forgiveness, will be saved. Whoever calls on the name, how about we replicate that this week? I want to challenge you to just try listening to someone else without being distracted or looking over their shoulder or looking another way. Just listen to him. There's an old Quaker saying about this, and it says, do you have this? Read this with me if you would. An enemy is one whose story. Why is there so much rancor and anger? Listen. Could the source be that we don't know the first thing about loving well? And the first step in loving someone well is just to close your mouth and genuinely listen to them, where they're coming from. Where you? Just don't think this is a 21st century thing. James, in talking to his church, in the book of James, told his church this. You have this up there, James? James says, be quick to listen, slow to what? Anger. Usually someone who's angry, it's just a sign that they can't slow down enough to really listen. And before you're thinking about other people, think about yourself in your own marriage, in your own kids, in your own situation. Lord, help me just to slow down. And listen. The same way, Lord, you unconditionally listen to me. I could be in a mess. And you never cross your arms and say, that's it. You're getting what you deserve. Talk to me when you get out of it. No. Call on me. How about number two? So we listen. Number two, make someone feel, this week, make someone feel important or special. How does God make you feel? The thought that he would love you so much. He would humble himself so much. I mean, how does it make you feel? Lord, thank you. Not only did you come, but you would die on a cross for me, and that you're praying for me right now. Lord, just, wow, thank you. Help me to make someone else feel valued and important as well. Number three, encourage someone. Encourage someone. How are you doing with your encouraging? I was at a party just the other day and went up to someone. The first thing they said to me, they didn't say anything, just patted me on the stomach and said, man, you must be doing well. I said, thank you. As I squeezed it in to button up my button, I am doing well. Thank you for noticing. How are you doing with your, when you're around people, when you leave them, do they have more courage? Or have you discouraged them? You've taken the faith and the confidence and the courage out of them? Or are you an encourager? Man, this is the best meal I've ever had. Honey, I don't know how in the world I would do this without you. And just, man, that's the most wonderful thank you for cleaning
kitchen, or just so on. I'm an encourager. You know, I had something happen to me this morning. My 12-year-old son, I was getting ready to walk out into the first service, and he said, "Hey, Dad." I said, "What?" He said, "Kill it." I squared my shoulders, walked out into the first service. What happened? My son was encouraging. "Hey, you can go. You can go." What's another way that we can love? Care. Read it with me if you would. Care for someone when they're hurting. Give some care. Is this the way the Lord loves us? The scripture says, "Cast all your anxiety, your fear, your worries upon him, for he," what? "He cares for you." That's the way God loves us. He doesn't run from us when we're hurting. He said he's very close to the broken heart. Call on the name of the Lord. So we care for those when they're hurting. And lastly, suggestions for loving well is give someone an unexpected gift. Didn't deserve it. I just was thinking of you, and so wanted to give this to you. So Christmas, finding Christmas. Look at the bottom of your notes. Love someone else. What? The way God has loved you. Let's pray. Lord, this is free. You said through the prophet Isaiah, "Come, come." And purchase all these water and wine and food and drink without cost. It's free. And Lord, that thing that we're purchasing is not just it's not just physical water and wine and bread, Lord, but it's our salvation, our strength, our forgiveness, our hope, our clarity in life. Lord, I thank you that all of that is just laid before us for free. Lord, I pray for that person who's far from you and they sense your good spirit, your Holy Spirit drawing them. Lord, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that they turn around, Lord, towards you, and they come home, Lord, towards you, and you begin to beautify their life. Lord, for us who have been maybe walking with the Lord a long time, Lord, I pray that we would drink in afresh and anew, Lord, and remind ourselves, Lord, of the free, unmerited grace of God. And Lord, help us to share that with others. In Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name we pray. All of us said. Come on. All of us said, amen. Amen.